We now turn to the final two movements, the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei, which I think of as one structural unit in the piece. The Sanctus, including the Benedictus, does not end on the same key it begins, neither does the Agnus Dei when you add the Dona Pacem end on the same key it begins. The Sanctus begins in D major, the tonic key. By the way, the Credo was the one movement in a really contrasting key, B flat. The Sanctus begins in D, and the Dona Nobis Pacem ends in D. But it's a special kind of D that I know of nowhere else. In the Sanctus, the D of the beginning is tinged with B minor in the following way. It starts in the basis of the orchestra with B. When the chorus sings Dona Nobis Pacem for the last time, it's in D, but it's tinged with B at the end. The last tonic chord is not complete. The last note the bassists sing on the strong beat is not a D, but a B. I find the unity around this tinge of B on the D pulls the sections together. And then right at the midpoint of the two sections, where the Agnus Dei begins, you're fully in B minor. Now, the Sanctus and Agnus Dei were the two sections of the Mass that received the most negative criticism during Beethoven's lifetime. They're also my favorite sections, which may not be a surprise when you consider that Beethoven was probably aware of what the critics would object to and did what he did anyway because he felt it that strongly. So it's probably his most strongly felt sections. The Dona Nobis Pacem movement in particular bothered his friends as well as the critics because he insisted on interrupting the prayer for peace with sounds of war, which you're going to hear. In fact, you're going to hear it in the next excerpt, which is a fairly long one. Now, various writers have talked about the parallelism in a D major movement. The military sounds are in B flat, that's the way they are in the Ninth Symphony also, except for very important differences. The military forces in the Ninth Symphony are friendly forces. They're our guys who are marching off as heroes to war. The military forces in the Missa Solemnis are the enemy. Furthermore, the enemy has stolen our guns. The timpani for this movement are tuned to B flat at F, not to the D of the movement of peace, but to the B flat of the music of war. One of the ways in which the ending of this piece is anticlimactic is the fact that the timpani are not present. I don't know any other Beethoven major work that ends without timpani present, but in this one, the timpani have joined the enemy, and they're not. You hear them a little bit before the end, warning that war is still around. Beethoven, as Maestro Perez indicated in his program notes when he performed the Seventh Symphony earlier this year, quoting his mentor Leonard Bernstein, that kid really knew how to end things. And he did. Beethoven certainly knew how to bring things to great endings. All the more reason, then, to notice that in the Missa Solemnis he does not do that. He gives an anticlimax at the end. The last thing the chorus sings is basically not a one but a six chord. End is very abrupt, and the forces of war twice march across the peace, spreading ruin and causing the soloists in the chorus to go back to singing, "Lamb of God, grant us mercy." To me, Beethoven must have known he was sacrificing a lot of the popularity of the work, both within the church and in the concert hall, by making the decision to end it in this way, but I think he was too honest in facing the reality of war and its advocacy at his time. And I should mention that in Beethoven's love of peace, he is a dissenter from his own time. The major philosophers of the German world in Beethoven's time, Kant, Fichte, Hegel, all have writings espousing the role of the German army in bringing about the better world that they hope will come, and causing Heinrich Heine, the great poet, to warn the French that in the future the Germans are going to do something very, very terrible to them. In this environment, Beethoven also exalted in the successful warfare against Colombia, writing his symphony Wellington-Sieg, which very few people perform today, but which is part of his biography. But he loved peace. He loved peace very much. It was very much on his mind. When we talk about the Inuit people of the North, it's mentioned that they had many, many different words for snow because it's so important in their lives. In this work, Beethoven has many themes for peace. The first of them goes like this. Section in A major with this as a still another piece. It's a slight variant of that theme, which comes back just before the very end to tantalize us with a view of what peace could be if we could only attain it. Now, I'm going back to the last measures before Dona Nobis Pacem, the last measures of Miserere Nobis, because I want you to hear the transition. To me, the most special moment in the entire Mises Solemnis is where Beethoven says for the last time, Agnus Dei, before first introducing the text, Dona Nobis Pacem. And he leaves out the part of the text that says, Qui tollis peccata mundi, that particular time, it's not there. It's just straight from Agnus Dei to Dona. This would have been clearly in the purview of Beethoven's private versus public, something he felt very deeply and would have been given to the soloists, except that he wants the whole world now to join him in his intimacy, in begging the Lamb of God, if you are capable of doing one thing for us and one thing only, please make it this. By the simplest means, a whisper. So we're going to hear the last half minute or so of the Miserere Nobis, that marvelous transition, the entire exposition where we hear all of those themes of peace, and the first interruption by the enemy marching with their timpani and trumpets. Okay. second war interruption before the end as well. You'll hear it Saturday.